But today I want to speak to you out of the book of Matthew, chapter 1. And it's about Joseph. We have a lot of Jesus, we have a lot of Mary, but we don't hear a lot about Joseph in this particular portion of Scripture, where it's dealing in chapter 1 with the situation that is taking place, because Joseph and Mary have decided that they are going to get married. They are engaged, then they're betrothed, and then they are married. There are three steps that went along. First of all, they were engaged to say that they are going to have a relationship. Betrothed means that they are husband and wife, but yet not living together. Married is now that they have joined and they're living together in one home. In the particular issue that is happening now, and I'm going to tell you some things that are not in the Bible, okay? This is just an old man reminiscing about some things that might have been taking place when Joseph has been engaged, now that he is betrothed, that he is now getting his home ready. He's adding on, because that's what happens. They just add another room on to the parents' house and accommodations, and he is a carpenter, and so he's adding this addition on, and he's excited about the new furnishing that he is building for the kitchen and the dressers for the bedroom and the furniture for the living room. And he's excited about getting all of these things done. And then Mary comes to him and says, "I had an angel visit me. And the angel said, I'm going to have a baby." Joseph is not all that excited about this news. Other than there was an angel that came and visited Mary and gave her explicit instructions of what was going to take place about this baby. And it was not going to be an ordinary baby, because it was going to be something that is going to be done by the God of the universe, and the Holy Spirit was going to come. Now, when we read what happens, I thought it was quite interesting, because I was going to go another direction, and all of a sudden I think it was Friday morning, it was like, that's not the sermon you're going to preach. This is the one that I want shared. And it's like, okay, then I need to take 2 weeks of studying and preparation and put 2 days into this and make it so that people are going to be saying, wasn't that wonderful? Now, some of you are not excited about that. But what I want to do, though, is I want us to see things now through Joseph's eyes, because he's betrothed to Mary. She has told him she is going to have a baby without him. And he's pondering, what am I going to do? And how can I separate from this? Because now, at the betrothal area, if there's a breakup, it has to be like a divorce. And how do you divorce somebody privately and not have her being put to death because she's having a child out of wedlock? In those days, it was the death sentence. Put her to death because she has violated her virginity. So now Joseph is put into the place, now what am I going to do? How am I going to put her away privately? Because I don't want anything to happen to her. But we need to separate and stop. And he's in the middle of this remodeling of his home, and now things are in shambles because things are not completed, and She's given him this information, and he is, what do I do now? How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to balance this issue that's taking place? And Joseph had a visitation in a dream. And paraphrasing, it's just that the angel said in the dream, don't worry. It's going to be okay for you to go ahead and take her as your wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And you shall have a child, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. God with us. And Joseph says, okay, if that's the deal, then let's get this house built. Let's get it done so that when this child, whomever, whenever is going to be born, there is a place for it. And our family will be enlarged. But he had to come to a place that he was going to raise a child that God said that this is who it is going to be, God with us, and you're going to be responsible for that child. Now, there's many quote-unquote stepchildren or children in love, and I don't know how terminologies. It's just like families have children. Some are natural children, some are adopted children, some are theirs, mine, ours, and somebody else's, and all of a sudden we become families that are mixed in relationships. And I grew up in a family of three boys, and I was the youngest and the best. My oldest brother was 6'4", my middle brother was 6'2", and I was 5'11". And as the years go, we got shorter. But it was okay because Mom was 5'5". Looking at pictures, all of a sudden, there's something a little bit weird about this family because everybody, except for one, parted their hair on the left side. One had it on the right. I had hair then. I did. All of them had dark hair except for one, me. My two brothers looked very similar with each other. There's pictures where them one of them sleeping on the couch in the front room, and you'd swear it was the other one, except for he was off to college, and so it had to be the middle brother, and whenever we would go anywhere, they would say, well, who is this? And this was their statement, oh, he's somebody Mom and Dad picked up off the street. And I thought, okay, so I'm not part of this family. I was somehow adopted into, but no one told me that. And my brothers keep telling that I was someone that was not from the family. I was picked up off of the street. Until I finally saw my birth certificate. And it said I was born in the same hospital with them, by the same doctor, by the same mother, and I am their brother. Then the two brothers decided that I should get a proper education and go to a real college and get a real job to do something of value, because I was only a pastor of a church. Not pronounced churches. I was little churches that were in little places and sometimes out in the wilderness area. We were in Hardin, Montana, which is right off the Crow Indian Reservation. and right near where Custer lost it all, and where they, it was not a good time for the family, but that's where our family started. It wasn't our first pastor. Our first pastor was a little building that you could put in that section over there. It had no electricity and no running water. 5 minutes out, 5 miles out of town, out of Grants Pass, Oregon. And it's like, okay, my brothers wanted me to get a decent job. I'm thinking of Joseph, how some people must have looked at him, if what are you doing? Because all of a sudden, Mary goes off to visit Elizabeth, and there's that's another message that I don't have time for today. But what I want us to catch a glimpse of, and that is Joseph, who was now going to be responsible to parenting a child that was going to be extraordinary. I know children pretty well, and they sometimes do things wrong. Sometimes they make mistakes. Can you think of raising a child who made no errors? That every time you told them to do something, they said yes and did it? Which is that's kind of a novelty. You know, say, yeah, I'll do it, and then they go and do something else. But Joseph kept these things in his heart and remembered what was told to him in the dream. When I look at the scripture, it is that the things that I read is that he was wanting to protect Mary from gossip. She looks like she's going to have a baby. They're not married yet. She looks like she's with child. Why doesn't he do something? But the Lord gave him a word. And let me tell you, if God gives you a word, you can count on it. You can count on it. He will move heaven and earth to accomplish that which he has spoken. And if it is spoken in his word and is spoken in our heart, then you can count on it. As they say, you could take it to the bank and deposit it. Joseph was a just man. He did the best he could. He was doing a job, and he was, from what we know, he was pretty good at his work as a carpenter, a builder of things. And I don't know, I just have this concept in my mind that he is a master carpenter. Not just any ordinary carpenter, but a master. And he did things over the top. Not building grade, but special. I have in my office a lectern similar to this. It's one of these. And it was handmade by a sheriff's deputy in our town that loved to work with wood. And he worked on this and brought it to me when he heard that I was leaving. And he says, "Yo, I really appreciate that, but you know, I can't use that. It's too tall. Because to use it, I would have to be standing for the period of time, and I can't stand that long." And so he says, No problem, I'll fix it. 2 days later, he brings it back, and it's the right sitting in a chair. I can use it, and it is of white oak and hand-polished, and it's just, it's a wonderful gift, and it's a gift from a friend. Didn't attend our church. He was a sheriff's deputy, and we became friends, and I happened to officiate at his wedding. And anyway, but it was such craftsmanship. And I look at that every time when I think of Joseph, that he must have done something like that. Something just special. And he was a man of integrity. And when he was told about this child that is coming, that and he said, "Son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Then he said how it's going to be done. "He will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." So all this was done according to what I'm reading in the scripture in verse number 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. And so the scripture says that when Joseph got the word, he arose from sleep and went and did it. In other words, they went to the county courthouse and got married. Well, they didn't have it like that then, but that's kind of like, didn't go through the wedding ceremonies. It just went to the courthouse and got the paperwork and got the all of the straightened out, and they were husband and wife. But he did not know her until after she had given birth to this special child. And it says that he did right away and took care of that and waited until this son was born. And when he was born, they called his name Jesus. What I want us to grasp hold of today: when God gives us a promise, you can count on it. He doesn't tell you when. He just tells you what. Most of us want to have something more in between that. We want to know all the details. I'm a detail type person. Step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 23, 29, 65 steps to, and rethinking it and redesigning again and do it over again and then do it again because it wasn't quite right. There's something that needs to be fixed with it. And I don't know anybody else that did this, but during my growing up years, I thought, you know, I'd like to design a house. No one would ever live in this kind of a house, but I was going to design it, and it was going to have a basketball court that would be movable out and cover a swimming pool, and there would be all of these things around it, and you wouldn't have to walk up steps. There would be an elevator or an escalator that would take you from floor to floor and design it and redesign it and design it all over again. I did this with our church of, all right, we can make this adjustment and this, and we can move this wall and we can move that, and we can enlarge this and we can enlarge over there when we need to. The town was dwindling down, and I'm talking about building something that's bigger. And but we want to be that kind of a person of designing something and saying, I did that, that's mine. I have an office in our home, and my oldest son and I designed it. And I look at it every day and thought, you know, those two guys did a good job. It's just right, and it's the right size. It takes care of all of my needs and all of my 1,700 volume library why does an old guy need a library like that? Because I can. It came with me, and it was in a trailer all of its own to make one trip over to bring all of these books and to think, yo, my boys are going to have to deal with that when I'm gone. And I just think that's neat. Yeah, because I want to see I'd like to see how they deal with that. Then there's their mother that's going to have to help deal with them dealing with that. Anyway, I want us to again come back to the fact that God says, I love you. His gift of life to us is a promise from the Father. You are not an accident. You are a gift. No matter what your age is, no matter what your circumstances, you are a gift. In just a matter of weeks, we're going to be celebrating Christmas and exchanging of gifts. Some elaborate, some homemade, some simple, some... And what is most exciting for me is watching Janet, watching the kids open their gifts, the grandkids. That is a hoot and a holler, because she has it set of how they're going to open them one by one. They don't open them together, one by one, and you get to open it first, and now the next one, and now here's the next part to that, and it's just, it is wonderful watching. And our kids and our grandkids, it's like watching them receive from her what she has worked 6 months at least on getting for them, because she saw something, you know, that would be great for her. You know, I can get this, and I can get it on sale. 20% off. Delivered. But anyway, it's just the concept that how God loves us, and the concept that he never is going to leave us. He's never going to abandon us. He's never going to say, oh, you know, I changed my mind. I don't need you in the family. That will never happen. Once you're in his family, you are in the family, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Papa God. And we can be embraced by him no matter the circumstances that we go through. Because we're all going to have struggles. I'll tell you right now, we're all going to have struggles. We're all going to have difficulties. We're going to have things we're going to have to work through. I'm still trying to work through this thing that caused me to have to be retired, because I would prefer to be back there doing that, except for that church building is not even there anymore. They destroyed it. They tore it down. I I want to share some words with those people who did that. They destroyed God's property. And I was a caretaker of it. And you messed with it. Yeah, there was an earthquake. It damaged the building a little bit. But it wasn't destroyable. It was repairable, and they wouldn't listen to me. Because I knew better than they did. Because I had been in the attic of that old building and know that it was super sturdy. Anyway, it's down and they can't do anything about it. But God is still God, and God is still in charge, and he is still working in the lives of people there and here. God is working in your heart. He's working in your life. He's wanting to accomplish glorious things, not just ordinary, but extraordinary. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or even dream of. That's what he wants to give us. And he wants us, as we are getting ready to open the gifts, to know that there is a gift that he has given to us that is far exceeding anything that's underneath the tree. And that is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Inviting him into our life and say, Lord, I give up. Now, this isn't you. This is me. I made such a mess of my life. Would you just kind of make something normal out of it? Because he desires to do that. His love for us cannot even be described, because it goes beyond, again, anything we can think of. And Jesus is simply saying to you and to me, I love you. I care for you. I want the best for you. I want you to give me your life, to trust me, that I can take you through the difficult days and I can bring you out the other side better than what you entered. The gifts that he has in store for us, for you and for me, cannot be described in our terms. I can't, it's beyond me to be able to say, this is what it's going to look like. All I can say is it's going to be wonderful. There's an old song, or an old chorus, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but I am strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. It's a song you can sing. Because yes, he loves you with unshakable love. And so as we approach this holiday season, don't get caught up in all of the extra stuff. Concentrate on who it's all about. Because you can't go wrong when you put your trust in Jesus. Bow your heads, please.